You ready?
Go! ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here, brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, 5-1 on aggregate. Real Madrid beat Barcelona in the Spanish Super Cup. Today, a 2-0 win. Boom. Smoked. Barcelona by Real Madrid. We can talk about that tonight. Asensio, a big piece of it. Big piece of hardware already. One by Real Madrid in this one here today. The second leg taking place in the Bernabeu. And again, Barcelona's got some problems here. Not to think that it can't be solved when you've got players like Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi, but Asensio, fourth minute in, sets the tone. Benzema in the 39th. They roll to a 5-1 win on aggregate. We can take your calls throughout the show tonight. 7:30 to 8, we're going to bang your calls about anything in Europe. We're going to do a lot of Premier League talk here because the Premier League busted onto the scene opening here in 2017 in big, big fashion. I know there's Manchester United fans who want to talk about it. You got Chelsea in real trouble. But what a weekend in soccer. Fanatics, thank you for joining me. Glenn Davis here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And we got a good show for you tonight. Vicente Sanchez, we're trying to get him on the phone right now. Very, very talented player of legend, quite frankly, from Toluca, who's with the Dynamo now, had a wonderful final 15 or so minutes when he came on. But we will talk the Premier League later on in the show. Wayne Rooney getting the lone goal as Everton win. Chelsea implodes. Liverpool still has questions. So we're going to go right now to Vicente Sanchez of the Houston Dynamo. He joins us now. We've got also to translate with us is Hector Castletort. The Dynamo will take on Vancouver this weekend, heading to Vancouver via the plane, obviously. Tomorrow morning, that match will be on Saturday night. All right, so Hector and Vicente join us now. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
All right.
Vicente, muchas gracias por estar en el programa. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. All right. So first I want to talk a little bit about Vicente's career because I don't think everybody in Houston knows about it. Let's start with his time at Toluca with Jose Cardoso and what that meant to him in his career.
Vicente, me gustaría platicar sobre tu carrera. Mucha gente en Houston no la conoce. Entonces, me gustaría hablar sobre tu tiempo en Toluca primero y tu tiempo con José Saturnino Cardoso.
Bueno, mi carrera empezó por allá por el año, en Uruguay, empezó en el año 98, debuté en primera división, fue el primer partido.
Okay. En 1998, I made my debut in Uruguay.
Luego fui a México en el año 2000.
And then I went to Mexico in 2000.
Y ahí estuve casi 8 años junto a Saturnino Cardoso en Toluca.
I was there for almost 8 years in Toluca with Saturnino Cardoso.
Donde fue, creo que, el equipo donde gané más títulos y donde, gracias a ese equipo, me tocó estar en la selección 8 años también de mi país.
That was a team where I think I won the most championships, and thankfully to those years there I was able to represent the country in different opportunities.
Vicente Sanchez joining us.
Mucho con José.
I learned a lot with José.
José era un hombre que ya tenía sus años y y era muy, tenía mucha experiencia.
He was a really experienced guy. He had his the years in him and
Y junto con Cristante que es el entrenador hoy en día de Toluca.
And alongside Cristante, who's the head coach.
Me enseñaron mucho en disciplina y en que hay que ser un profesional. ¿Cómo se debe ser un profesional?
They taught me a lot about discipline and how to be a professional.
Que hoy por hoy me enseñaron a que uno es no solo jugador de fútbol cuando está dentro de un campo, sino las 24 horas del día.
They taught me a lot. They taught me that a soccer player is not only, you're not only a soccer player when you're on the field, but you're also a soccer player 24 hours a day.
Vicente Sanchez joining us here on ESPN 97.5 of the Houston Dynamo. Comes off a wonderful game. Goal and an assist against San Jose in the 3-0 win. He's 37 years of age from Montevideo, Uruguay. Hector, if you could please ask Vicente about that relationship with Cardoso. Were they friends off the field? Did they become sort of one as two great soccer players with differing qualities?
Vicente, ¿podrías hablar un poco sobre tu relación con Cardoso fuera del campo como amigo? ¿Cómo fue esa relación? ¿Cómo se fue construyendo esa relación con José Cardoso?
Hay una diferencia de edad que ahora no se nota. Pero cuando llegué a Toluca yo tenía 20 años y él 30 y poco. Entonces él me ayudó mucho. En cada entrenamiento, era como mi padrino. La relación en un momento era, cuando llegué, era como mi padrino en la parte de fútbol. Pero ahora somos amigos.
I mean, when I got there was a clear age difference with him. He was 30, I was 20. He basically took me under his wing. He helped me. He was kind of like my godfather over with Toluca. And now we're extremely really really good friends.
Does he keep in touch with him?
Aprendí mucho de él.
I learned a lot from him.
Fue muy importante tener una persona de experiencia en el equipo como él, porque los jóvenes como nosotros necesitamos de la gente de experiencia. Él nos ayudó mucho. Es una excelente persona, un excelente goleador. Que ha roto todos los récords en México. En goles, en la selección de su país y más que nada me enseñó a cómo posicionarme dentro de una cancha, a que tuviera confianza, a ser un profesional con todas las letras me enseñó él.
You know, he was a really experienced player and a lot of the youngsters like myself at the time, we really needed someone like him. And he was someone who, you know, he broke all records that you can think, both in the Mexican League and with his national team. And he also taught me a lot about how to play the game, how to be more fruitful on the pitch.
Vicente Sanchez joining us here on ESPN 97.5. We're very grateful that he is on the show. And he is a legend at Toluca. I don't think there's any denying that. After his time at Toluca, he goes to Schalke in Germany. Was it a tough adjustment going from playing in Liga MX to the Bundesliga?
Vicente, no hay ninguna duda que tú eres un gran jugador, que tuviste una gran carrera con Toluca, pero después de con Toluca te fuiste a Alemania. ¿Cómo fue el proceso de adaptación? ¿Fue difícil adaptarte a una liga como la alemana?
Sí, porque es una liga diferente a como se juega en México. Creo que la liga alemana es muy similar a la liga MLS.
Because the Bundesliga is way different than the Mexican League. I actually feel that the Bundesliga is more like MLS.
Pero yo tenía un sueño, que era jugar la Champions, jugar en Europa. La oportunidad de Schalke. Dios puso esa oportunidad fui y viví cosas increíbles.
I mean, I had this dream of playing Champions League and playing in Europe, and God allowed me to fulfill that dream, and I went there, and I was able to do great things up there.
Vicente Sanchez.
Jugar con jugadores como Rakitic, el mismo Jermaine Jones, Rafinha, que está en Bayern Munich, Manu Neuer, jugar tres años con esos jugadores. Teníamos un gran equipo, y la verdad hicimos muy buenos tres años ahí en Schalke.
And to play with players like Rakitic, Jermaine Jones, who was there at the time, Rafinha, Manuel Neuer, those were wonderful 3 years that I spent there.
Vicente Sanchez is joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, Hector Castletort, so generously translating here. It's an interview we've wanted to do all year with Vicente because of such a broad and amazing career that he has had. I want to go back to his comparison with the Bundesliga. Does he believe Major League Soccer now is getting more technical in nature?
Vicente, me gustaría hablar sobre lo que acabas de decir de la comparación entre la Bundesliga y la MLS. ¿Crees que la MLS está siendo más táctica?
Sí, más táctica, muy física. Para jugar en la MLS hay que estar muy bien físicamente. No cualquier jugador, así venga de cualquier país, va a poder jugar acá. Para jugar en esta liga uno tiene que estar muy bien físicamente, porque es una liga muy muy competitiva.
Yeah, I mean, tactically, physically, any player who comes here has to be really fit to be here because it has become a really physical league here.
Okay, so now take him. But what I was asking was more technical. In other words, are there more dribblers in this league? People that are good with the ball, coming up with ideas like himself. Does he believe, because he's been in the league a while with Colorado going back to 2013, does he see the league getting a little bit more focus on the ball and the technical skills of players?
¿Crees que la liga se está enfocando más en lo técnico, en lo técnico de las habilidades técnicas del jugador?
Sí, sí, porque es evidente que la liga hoy en día ha traído muchos jugadores en posiciones de número 10 o delanteros. Creo que se ha encargado de traer delanteros jóvenes y con mucho dribbling. Creo que la liga está apostando a eso. Y lo está logrando. Ya todos los equipos tienen jugadores con mucha calidad individual.
Yeah, because the MLS teams have been bringing a lot of players to play on that number 10 role, and they have also been developing a lot of forwards, and that's something that has been coming up with the MLS, and it has helped the MLS improve in that sense.
Vicente Sanchez joining us in ESPN 97.5. So it's noted, Hector and Vicente, that Vicente is working with the younger players, like Memo Rodriguez. So when I hear his story about him being a young guy with Jose Cardoso, I get the feeling that this is something that he wants to carry on and pay forward, working with younger players on the Houston Dynamo.
Cuando escucho, dice Glenn, que cuando escucha tu historia con Cardoso y te ve a ti con gente como Memo Rodríguez, con los jóvenes, ¿sientes que tienes el rol que José Cardoso llegó a tener contigo y eso es algo que tú quieres darle a los jóvenes en el Houston Dynamo?
Sí, ojalá que en un futuro ellos puedan hablar lo mismo de mí que yo hablé de Cardoso.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that in the future, you know, these players are coming up can speak about me the way I speak about Cardoso.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Intento todos los días apoyarlos y también que entiendan que bueno, que hay que el futbolista es un futbolista todo el tiempo, hasta en su casa, en la manera de comer, en la manera de dormir, en la manera de descansar, y no solo las tres horas. Intento cada día que pasa mostrarles un poco en los entrenamientos, pero muy 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 feliz de cómo están los jugadores ahora.
I try to support each of the young players that we have. I try to teach them that a soccer player, it's not only a soccer player 3 hours a day, it's a soccer player 24 hours, and that's reflected in the way they sleep, the way they eat, the way they rest. And I hope that, you know, every day passes, I try to install that on them.
Vicente Sanchez is joining us here with the Houston Dynamo. 3-0 winners over San Jose. They'll take on Vancouver this Saturday. You can catch 8:30 is the pregame show on the Cube here in Houston. It's a very big game for both the Dynamo and Vancouver. Does Vicente one day, you think, want to get into coaching? Does he want to be a manager one day?
Vicente, ¿te gustaría ser un entrenador algún día? Vicente?
Did we lose him, Hector?
Yes. I think we lose them.
Okay, we lost them. Okay, tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll see if we can get him back. I think that's the way to go here right now. Let's see if we can get him back on for a few more questions, and we'll go from there. Okay, Hector?
Okay.
Hector, cool. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Hopefully we're going to get a little more out of Vicente Sanchez, because I want to know if he wants to be a coach one day. And then we'll talk about his role and the way Vicente Sanchez reacted after he scored the second goal against San Jose, ran over to the bench and embraced all his teammates. And you could see in the eyes of his teammates how important that goal was and how they were celebrating with him. We'll take a couple more questions with Vicente. Then we're going to hit a lot of Premier League talk. So all you Premier League fans in Houston and around the country who is listening to this streaming, we are live on Facebook right now, but we would also like you to get your questions ready or for Premier League talk, because we had a big weekend. I love Wayne Rooney scoring at Everton, by the way. Goes back to his boyhood club, scores, unbelievable. Hey, soccer fans, check out the Kings Court 903 Hutchins and Edo, 13 TVs, Kings Court. They'll show the Premier League. They have the Manchester United supporters group down in Houston Red Army, 24 taps, full beer, extensive selection of spirits, Indian British cuisine, a rooftop patio, a real soccer pub feel. And got to go authentic, you know, real soccer pub feel. That's the only one in Edo. That's all I got to say. We stop there a lot pre and post game sometimes. Catch El Batallón in their act. Those guys are awesome. Take a break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Bring it back with a little Remedy here by the Black Crowes. Yeah, there's none of the Black Crowes out there. We got a good mix of music here tonight. Facebook Soccer Matters, that's where we're talking about the game. Get over there. Like us. Contribute. We put all kinds of topics up over there. Dynamo, Premier League, La Liga. I am opening the phone lines up now at 713-780-3776. Real Madrid fans, are you out there? Are you celebrating today? Yes, you are. It was a beatdown on Barcelona, 5-1. Aggregate for the Super Cup win. So, unfortunately, Vicente Sanchez had to get back with his family, so... Oh, he is still on. Okay, well, is he available to take questions? Oh, okay, well, let's go back to Vicente then. Okay, so we had... Okay. Do we have time for two or three more quick questions, Hector, with Vicente?
I think more questions.
Okay, let's do two more, and then we'll let him get back to his family, and a big thank you to Vicente. So the question we gave before we got off the air was, would he like to be a manager one day?
¿Te gustaría ser entrenador algún día?
Sí, creo que que es algo muy lindo, pero hay que prepararse bien.
Yeah, I think it's something that will be beautiful, but you know, you gotta prepare yourself for that.
When he celebrated his goal with his teammates, I thought that was a wonderful moment. Can he take us through that a little bit? Because I saw an entire team overjoyed when Vicente scored.
Vicente, se ve la unión entre, se ve que los compañeros te quieren mucho, se ve que tú quieres mucho a los compañeros. Cuando metiste ese gol y llegaron todos a festejar contigo, se vio una unión muy especial en el grupo. ¿Puedes hablar un poco sobre eso?
Sí, muy feliz, muy contento de que, de que el equipo ganó, eso fue lo principal. Luego de convertir el gol y luego cuando todos los compañeros vinieron conmigo a festejar y me expresaron ese cariño, la verdad me emocioné mucho, muy agradecido y muy contento con los compañeros que tenemos.
Yeah, it was a really special moment, you know, like when I scored that goal, you know, first off, it meant a lot because that meant the win for the team. And second, it was a great moment because, you know, like all the teammates came and just hugged me. And, you know, it was a really special moment to share with my team.
Last one, and this is it. I just want to get his thoughts as a playmaker that has been exceptional. Vicente has been over his career. His initial thoughts on a playmaker in Tomas Martinez, the new Argentine.
Tú, la última pregunta para terminar. Tú como un jugador, que como un creativo se podría decir, ¿qué piensas de Tomás Martínez?
Que es un jugador excepcional, tiene muchas condiciones, es un jugador muy joven, que le va a dar muchas alegrías a Daniel.
He's a really young player with a lot of characteristics, and he has a lot of talent, and he's gonna bring a lot of joy to the Dynamo and its fans.
Tell Vicente thank you very much. Hector, thank you as well, and we appreciate you guys sitting through the commercial break. We'll let him get back to his family and tell Vicente best of luck against Vancouver.
Muchas gracias, Vicente. Mucha suerte contra Vancouver.
Bueno, muchísimas gracias y un gusto estar en la radio con.
It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you very much for the time.
Thanks to Vicente, and thanks to you, Hector. And
bye-bye.
We appreciate it. Bye-bye. So that was some interesting stuff there from Vicente Sanchez. And, I mean, if you have not looked at his career, it's remarkable. So here's something interesting. I took in the Dynamo game down in the field seats. On nights I don't have to do a broadcast, I'd like to sit field level, and I'll tell you why I did it specifically, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I knew Ramel Kyoto and I knew Albert Elise were going to be out wide, and I wanted to watch them up close. I also wanted to watch Tomas Martinez up close. I had a thought that he might come on in the second half in this game. So I got to do that. The other thing is, as a broadcaster, for me, it reminds me of what managers look at, because managers don't get to see the game as good as commentators do up above from a spatial perspective. So there was a little bit of homework being done as well when I was down there. And it was fun because, you know, I got to see and talk to some of the Dynamo fans walking in and out of the tunnel down there. And it was great. It's a different perspective and it's a different feel. And we'll take your calls right now. The phone lines are open up. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So Real Madrid, Barcelona, that's on the table. 5-1 aggregate for Real Madrid. Other than that amazing little piece of time that Ronaldo came on and bends in a goal and gets sent off, pushes a referee, not smart. But I want to get your thoughts here because, boy, Real Madrid looks in a much better place than Barcelona right now. And maybe there's more to the whole Neymar leaving than we know. 713-780-3776. Premier League opened up. Big excitement. Manchester United, a sparkling attacking start. Wayne Rooney with the lone goals. Everton win. Chelsea imploding. Is Chelsea in real trouble right now? Questions around Liverpool, although they get a win over Hoffenheim in the Champions League. Manchester City gets Aguero off the snide. I wouldn't say it was a great attacking performance for them in their win. Lacazette, Morata, Lukaku, all big striker off-season moves, all paying off here. Goals being scored by all of those guys. So let's get some Premier League talking. 713-780-3776. Houston, come on, wake up. We got the college football season coming. We got NFL. You've got a platform. This is your opportunity. There's a ton of supporters groups here in Houston. I went out to the Real Peña, which is the Real Madrid supporters group. Great bunch of guys there with Eddie Mendoza. I'm going to eventually get to Barcelona with Costa and the Culis. I hung out with El Batallón after the game and watched their performance from a different perspective. The supporters group culture is growing. I went down to King's Court. I hung out with the Manchester United supporters group. So, look, it's your platform here. And I want you to talk the game. I'm trying to stir this up a little bit. I've got tickets for the Dynamo as well here tonight. And I've got tickets to the Houston Dash. I'm going to talk about the Dash. And if there's any Dash fans that want to call in and talk tonight, look, it was a disappointment down there. And I sat on the field for that one, too. I was a little astonished that a team that was fighting to get in the playoffs was that lethargic and then end up losing to FC KC 1-0. You know, I sometimes think it's a little bit too much of a love affair when it comes to women's soccer. And it is about results and getting in the playoffs. So let's go to the phone lines. We'll start it off with Mark. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, what's going on?
Not much. Looking forward to some soccer talk tonight, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. So, I mean, I'm a huge Arsenal fan, and what a way to kick off the Premier League with that game with Leicester City, man. 4-3, that's a great game. Back and forth, you know. La Casette looks great, you know, score that first goal, get that monkey off his back, you know, hopefully he does good things, maybe score 20-plus this season. But aside from that, you know, I wanted to talk about that the transfer deadline that they're trying to pass through or whatever. And I think, to be honest, it's a good idea to have your team set before the transfer deadline. But the thing is, if the Premier League is going to put themselves in a bind, because the other European leagues will have three extra weeks to gather players up, you know?
Well, it just means you have to get deals done quicker. And look, I think it's a bit of a joke, though, that we're sitting here and coaches are trying to build teams and you're wondering if Coutinho is going to be around, which we don't think he will be. That's a major league hit. So I don't know. It's kind of a joke that there's all this speculation. I'm tired of the speculation and, you know, get these deals done. Let coaches get teams in place and let them get after it. It just means they're going to, and they may end up having to pay more if other teams have opportunity that the window is longer, they may have to end up paying more for some of these players.
Well, you know, like, and it's great to just say that, you know, you're tired of all the speculation, you know, because, and to be honest, you know, Glenn, the whole transfer market is sometimes a big joke, you know, honest, because, you know, there's so many different hands in the cookie jar when it comes to a player specifically, you know, the high-class players or whatever. And it's just, you know, hearing this person. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's like the trade deadline for the NBA or a Major League Baseball. You know, you get excited when you hear your team linked to a player and this and that. But then, you know, it's so many things going on. The reason they don't go because of this and that, whatever. And then obviously the huge outrageous, you know, transfer fees are crazy. You know, it's like,
they made their own bed. These are the guys that have bought these teams and are spending ridiculous money. The valuation of players is mind-boggling. I don't understand it now. The numbers are so big. You know, I mean, look, your team, Arsenal, right? They're sitting around waiting to find out if Ozil and Sanchez are going to sign extensions. And every single year when it comes to Arsenal, somebody brings up, hey, when are we going to find that central midfield player that has steel, that has an edge, who's going to be our inspirational leader, who's going to lead our team and replace Patrick Vieira? And it still hasn't been done. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, no, I understand that completely. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, as an Arsenal fan, you know, obviously,
you
know,
can't find a personality to be your leader on that team? I mean, where is it? Yeah, who's the leader of Arsenal? You tell me.
No, well, I mean, obviously, right, you know, to be honest, the crazy thing about it, Glenn, with Arsenal, the guy with the most heart might be Oliver Giroud, and he's on the bench, you know?
You can't be a day-in and day-out leader if you're not playing.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. You know, he, you know, that's the problem. But you know, going back with the transfer thing, you know, like I think Arsenal is probably stuck. You know, because I follow them a lot. You know, they're stuck kind of like in an old school mentality where they signed big players like Sanchez and Ozil and obviously Lescate or whatever. But you know, but when you're talking about getting that over the top player like a couple of years ago, they had a chance to get Suarez or whatever or whoever, you know, they don't go after because then I mean I think Arsenal is one of those teams along with like say a Borussia Dortmund where they're content in building up the player, developing the players.
That's yeah, but I'm talking about the balance of the team, Mark. And the balance of the team, here, I'm going to give you a great example. Nemanja Matic is going to end up being a huge signing for Manchester United because of his influence on others around him, what he does to the balance of the team, what he allows others to do because of what he can do. And I'm telling you, with the Ozils and the Sanchezes of the world and all these wonderful attacking pieces, if Wenger and Arsenal were able to find that one player that would be a Matic-type guy, it could platform them to potentially another level. It really could.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the end, you can talk all you want about Manchester United, but they've made two critical signings. And one is Lukaku. It's a goal scorer. It's a guy that's a little bit of a threat behind defenses. He's going to rub off on the likes of Martial and Rashford. And then it's Matic, who is absolutely, I'm telling you, that signing is going to be one of the signings of the year. And it will be the signing of the year if they win the title.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, and I agree. Don't get me wrong, man. As an Arsenal fan, I mean, we hear rumors about so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and then to be heartbroken at the end because we're not willing to pay the transfer fee or whatever, you know, to get that player, you know, knowing he wanted to come here or whatever. You know, I mean, it's always being like second fiddle, you know.
It's tough. Tough being a soccer fan these days.
It is.
When it comes to player loyalty, that really isn't such a thing.
No. I mean, there's not. The player loyalty, I mean, unless you're talking about somebody where maybe, obviously, like Messi, he's been with Barcelona his whole playing career or whatever. But, I mean, but other than that, I mean, you know, Sanchez, he goes, you know, he's from Barca. He's from, you know, Arsenal, you know, previously before that, you know, I forgot where he came from. But, you know, it's just players are moving around. Players are looking for the big payday, you know. Yeah. Well, hey, what are you going to pay me?
And in some ways, you can't blame him. How can you blame Neymar? I mean, these are opportunities that don't come around. Look, how about Coutinho at Liverpool? If he doesn't go now, that opportunity may never be there again for him. Okay?
Of course.
For those who want to say, you know, he should stay there because of what Liverpool's done for him, well, I mean, it really works kind of both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, the same thing. It's the same situation with Suarez's situation when he was with Liverpool. I mean, Suarez did so much for Liverpool to bring him up. I mean, he almost single-handedly helped them almost win the Premier League one year. And then obviously a bigger opportunity came along when he got signed up by Barcelona. You know, and you can't discourage a player from trying to go to bigger and better things. You know, Liverpool. I mean, obviously, yeah, the history is great. You know, they got championships and all that stuff like that. But I mean, but in this modern age, I mean, if it's not Barcelona, Real Madrid, or you know, PSG, or whatever, or maybe even Man City, you know, the teams with the big pockets, you know.
Yep. We love everything about it, Mark. Thank you very much for the good phone call here tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
All right, thank you.
Bye. All right, that's Mark weighing in, Arsenal fan. 713-780-3776. Weigh in on your club. Let's go to Rafael. Rafael, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rafael?
I'm doing good. Haven't been able to call in a while. Been doing training during your time, but I'm glad that I'm getting off and getting to listen. And I got to hear what you said with Mark, and I was calling to tell you that I think Matic, to me, was probably the man of the match. I know, you know, Lukaku scored and got his brace, and Pogba, you know, was in a groove, and other players were playing well, but I think that just all started from Matic. I think that whole midfield was just controlled by him. Only being West Ham, I understand, but it was still a promising team that was supposed to come in into Old Trafford. But my question to you is, do you think this affects Ander Herrera after just one game?
Well, it is one game, and for those who condition the win, I think that happens. People are going to condition it positively. People are going to say, well, it's just West Ham. I don't buy all that. You still have to go out and beat teams. They beat him convincingly. They beat him comprehensively. Yes, I do think it could affect Herrera because Matic is a major step up, and Matic is allowing others to do other things. And I think when we look at signings, sometimes we just focus on what the player he himself can do. And what I like to focus on is, okay, and also what is the effect on others around him, and who's he going to be positioned next to, and how is that going to help the team? Look, it's one game. I can't get into the mind of Jose Mourinho. All I can say is last year I turned Manchester United off because the games were boring. I couldn't take it. I didn't want to waste 2 hours of my life. This was exciting. This was United-style football. This was attacking. What's going to happen when they come up against some of the top teams in the league? I'm very much looking forward to finding out what Mourinho's going to do when you play the likes of the Manchester Cities and others
who are another caliber.
But I'm going to say what a great start for Manchester United.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know last year was a great start as well. I think we went four wins in a row, but this one was just, like you said, my blood pressure went back up. It was exciting. It was even after a 4-0 win, that last goal just sealed the deal and just still made it exciting. But thanks, man. Always love hearing you and appreciate everything you do here in Houston.
Rafael, thank you very much, and I appreciate you bringing up the great topic there. We appreciate that, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Yes,
right,
sir. Have a good one.
We're going to take a break here. 713-780-3776. Let's continue to talk the Premier League. It's your platform. I got a number of other things I want to talk about tonight, but let's get after it. Later on in the show, we're going to have a couple of guests on. We're going to get Tom Clare's thoughts on Manchester United, the great author. We're also going to get Wally Crittenden on. We're going to shine the light later on in the program on the college game and another one of the shining lights that comes out of Houston to do great things in the game. We've had so many coaches, players, people involved with the sport, administrators that have come out of Houston, Texas over the years, going way, way back. And it's exciting. Houston Red Army, Real Peña, Houston Culis, Manchester United, the Red Army Houston, spent a lot of time with these supporters groups this past weekend. The supporters group culture is growing in a big way. Streaming ESPN975.com, 713-780-3776. I just want to remind you real quick that Bud Light, huge sponsor of this show. Summer's here. Get out on the patio. We're winding it down. Post up at the pool. Grab your friends. Grab an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, remember, not about the parties. It's about your friends. They are wonderful sponsors of Soccer Matters. Bud Light here on ESPN 97.5. Fifth caller right now. You got a pair of tickets. Dynamo Sporting Kansas City, Saturday, August 26th. Fifth caller at 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Been on an NXS kick lately. It's a great band. 713-780-3776. Whatever's on your soccer mind here, get it out. Talking Premier League to start this weekend. La Liga will kick off, as well as the Bundesliga. We saw Liverpool take on Hoffenheim in the Champions League. How do you feel about the start of your club in the Premier League? 713-780-3776. Is it a crisis at Liverpool right now? Chelsea? Tell me. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. We can also talk the Dynamo San Jose game. We can also begin to talk the Dynamo in Vancouver. It's going to be interesting up there. Vancouver just lost their holding midfielder who did damage to his knee, Matias Laba. And that's going to be a very big miss for them. He's an Argentine. He helps control their midfield. He did it on the artificial surface. Hey, no surprise there. So Dynamo going up to Vancouver, have to do it on the artificial surface at BC Place, which is a stadium in downtown Vancouver. So it's a big one this weekend because Vancouver is just outside the playoff spot. 713-780-3776. Dynamo San Jose, what'd you think of it? I think Albert Elise took a step up, had the good header. Good to see him score and get back. He hadn't scored in a goal in a while, struggled with Honduras. Kyoto, still not something right with Romel Kyoto. We got to get him back because remember in the beginning of the year, we were talking about him as the best Dynamo player. The only thing is I'd like to see those two guys, this is just me personally, widen the game out a little bit, as opposed to always coming inside. In other words, stretch the game out width-wise, pull a back four lengthwise a little bit apart. I would like to see that a little bit more. Let's go to the phone lines. We got a Chelsea caller here. I believe it's Nathan. Nathan, what's on your mind?
Yeah, man, I'm just calling about Chelsea's start to the Premier League season, man. We didn't get Romelu Lukaku. We got Morata, but, you know, we're not really excited about that.
Well, he scored on his debut.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, he doesn't look like he can replace Diego Costa. Diego Costa has a really huge shoes to fill.
So are you upset that Costa was not brought back? I mean, how do you feel about Antonio Conte and not being able to retain him? Conte, I think, had to put up with him throughout the year and get the best out of him, but he's gone and he hasn't been replaced.
I mean, I like Conte, but the way he treated Diego Costa, I believe it's very unfair because I believe he scored the most goals last season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you should treat a player of his caliber that way.
But they had a contentious relationship, right? And there's always the chance that a player with a contentious relationship is not going to be brought back. I also don't like the way Costa's behaving by going down to Brazil, you know, kind of whining and using the press to say stuff. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's a superstar. But, you know, I don't think he should be acting that way. But, I mean, if we found a good replacement, in my opinion, for Costa, like a Lukaku, or like a Griezmann, if he didn't sign that contract, then I would have been happy.
Yeah, Griezmann, we all thought he was going somewhere, and then 3-2 loss to Burnley, down 3-0, team was in shambles. Cahill gets sent off. It was a nightmare for Chelsea. They're the defending champions. You know, Willian looks like the most threatening type of player in this game. There's still good pieces here. Fabregas, he goes. I don't know. When Hazard comes back, is that going to be enough?
I mean, like, Bakayoko and Hazard are coming back. I heard they just started training, so I think maybe next week we'll have a better game.
I mean, look who's gone. Matic goes to Manchester United. I mean, what about him being gone? Are you upset that he's gone? I would be if I was a Chelsea fan.
I'm very disappointed, especially to United. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right to your competitor.
He had his best seasons under Jose Mourinho, too, so that was very disappointing.
Listen, thank you. Best of luck to Chelsea. Let's see if they turn it around. I'm sure they probably will, but we'll see, because it's a very interesting story to follow, and I know you're a big Chelsea fan. Thank you very much for calling in tonight.
No problem.
All right. Much appreciated there. So before we hit a little bit of a break here, a reminder about what's coming up. We got Tom Marshall. Tom's going to talk about the whole Rafa Marquez connected to the drug thing. We're going to talk about why Mexican fans are upset at Carlos Vela for joining LAFC, and Jonathan Dos Santos for joining the LA Galaxy. Hey, the good times are happening here in the States. There's money to go around. You don't think MLS teams want Mexican players of high quality here? It's not a bad gig. And we'll ask him also what Juan Carlos Osorio thinks of that. But a lot of good stuff with Tom Marshall coming up. We'll also, later in the show, we'll go to Tom Clare, his thoughts on the Manchester United start to the Premier League. Plus, we will also have on Wally Crittenden, local product now, coaching at the college level now. We shine that light on everybody. Daspit Law Firm, a moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys, 713-322-4878, 713-322-4878. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, we appreciate their support of Soccer on the Radio. Going to try this now. Houston Dash fans, I put these out before. I want to hear you call in. You want a pair of tickets to the Houston Dash North Carolina Courage, August 27th. Third caller right now for Houston Dash tickets.